You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. Today's show is going to feature a couple of interviews that I was fortunate enough to land with a couple of young NFL draft prospects who are working out in advance of the draft at Test Football Academy in New Jersey. Under the guise of folks like former New York Giants lineman Richie Seubert. The young men that we're going to talk to are both offensive linemen, Tommy Doyle of Miami of Ohio and Will Freeze of Penn State, both young men hoping to hear their names called in the draft here in a few weeks. And we'll get to those interviews in a moment here. But first, I think we need to spend some time talking about the franchise and transition tags. The window for NFL teams to use those tags is now open until March 9th. The giant most likely to receive a tag, of course, is defensive lineman Leonard Williams, who the Giants hope to keep off the free agent market. But, Williams played last season under the franchise tag, $16.126 million, wrote at Big Blue View on Tuesday that while it's an option, I think the Giants would sincerely hope not to have to use the franchise tag on Williams this time, with the cap going down from $198 million down to somewhere around $182, $183 million, in that range. The way the rules are written, to tag a player 2 years in a row, Williams would receive a 20% raise, which would put his 2021 salary cap hit somewhere around $19.4 million. That would be prohibitive, for me. If I'm the Giants, that would be an absolute last resort if you can't come to some sort of a long-term agreement that would allow the Giants to keep the cap number down for 2021. I know a lot of folks also are worried about the possibility of offense or defensive tackle Dalvin Tomlinson leaving via free agency as well. And I'm sure the Giants would like to sign Tomlinson, would like to keep him. But again, the tag is prohibitive. Even the transition tag is estimated to be or projected to be more than $11 million for defensive tackle in 2021. The franchise tag is more than $14 million, via projection from over the cap. So I'm sure that while the Giants would like to have Tomlinson back, they're not going to use the franchise tag to make that happen. That's just too big of a cap hit for 2021, especially with the cap going down. We'll have to see if they can work some magic here and get the numbers down and make some salary cap space here in the next couple of weeks, with moves involving guys like Nate Solder and Kevin Zeitler and some other veteran players who they could cut or restructure. Golden Tate's another one who's probably going to wind up, being cut to save some salary cap space. But we'll see what the Giants do here cap-wise in the next couple of weeks. I'm just not anticipating that they would use the tag on either Williams or Tomlinson. Just, financially and cap-wise, not really the way that the Giants would hope to go about, you know, building their roster and trying to improve this team for the 2021 season. It would just it would really limit their flexibility going forward into the remainder of free agency. So we'll see what happens, but I would not anticipate the Giants doing anything in terms of using the franchise tag. All right, let's get to our first of two interviews. First up will be the interview that I did with Will Freeze of Penn State. All right, Giants fans, we as we build toward the NFL draft, we try to get an opportunity to introduce you to some of the young men who are hoping to hear their names called in the draft this spring. And joining the program right now is Penn State offensive tackle Will Freeze, one of those young players hoping to be drafted here in a few weeks. Will, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me, and looking forward to the opportunity to talk some ball.
All right, so I was just looking at looking at some information about you, and you know, you've played. Pretty much everywhere across the line except for center. Am I right? You played more guard this year than you did center, or than you did tackle. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I've started at four positions on the line. My first start being left guard when I was a redshirt freshman. Never started center, but this year I started the first couple games at tackle. Got moved into guard. Started the majority of the time there. Played most of my senior season there, and being able to play guard and tackle in every game this year.
And you have a preference, or do you think that really it's just the versatility that's a big selling point for you, you know, going into the draft?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like you said, it's just the versatility aspect. You know, being able to play multiple positions on the offensive line, you know, when a team only carries a certain number of guys, you know, there has to be guys that are dependable and reliable to play more than one position. And, you know, I feel very confident in my abilities to do that. You know, I was able to do it within games this year, you know, doing it every game. But like you said earlier, I feel pretty good at tackle too. You know, that's been my home for the past couple of years, and have a lot of reps there. But you know, getting the experience to play some guard this year, I think it's going to help me out.
Is that hard to do? You know, the Giants did a thing this year. Obviously, you know, my website covers the Giants, and people talk about offensive lines and continuity and all that. And there was a big fuss this year with the Giants because they rotated a couple of positions. They rotated one of the guard spots and they rotated one of the tackle spots. Is it hard, I mean, to switch positions within games, or is that just something that you got used to?
You know, I think I have to give a lot of credit to my offensive line coach, Coach Stratwine. You know, he did a great job preparing me for that challenge. You know, I think that typically it is it's not an easy thing to do for a guy to move between guard and tackle within a game. But, you know, I think he just, the way he prepared me, you know, studying, you know, extra tape, you know, practicing both positions in practice and, you know, knowing going into the game that I'm going to have to play both, you know, I think that really helped me out. And I give a lot of credit to him for making that transition a little bit easier.
And did you, I know there isn't going to be a scouting combine this year, but did you have an invite?
Yes, I did get invited to the combine.
And, I mean, are you kind of bummed that there isn't going to be a combine just in terms of, you know, getting in front of teams? Or, I mean, does it kind of complicate, you know, your ability to I guess I want to say, sell yourself to NFL teams at all?
You know, I think first off, I'm, you know, very thankful to be invited, regardless, you know, no matter the circumstance. It's something, you know, you always dream about when you're, you know, a little kid, and, you know, as you get closer and closer to the goal, and, you know, getting that invite, you know, is definitely something very special to me. You know, it definitely is a little bumming that, you know, can't go there to Indianapolis, you know, experience the whole, you know, the whole interview process, the testing and things like that. That's that's a little disappointing, but you know, I think the NFL has a good plan in place that you know, we'll still be able to showcase all of our skills and do the meetings and things like that. I think that you know, at our pro day, you know, be able to, you know, show off all the stuff we've been working for and do interviews and still get those things done to you know, sell ourselves.
And I know that you're working out, you know, in advance of the draft. I know you're working out at Test Football Academy in New Jersey, and I know that one of the guys that works with you guys is former Giant, you know, Rich Soibert, and Rich is a good friend of the show. He's a good friend of Big Blue View, and I know that his journey to the NFL came as an undrafted guy. You know, a guy that, you know, not a lot of people had expectations for in the NFL. I'm just curious what it's like working with Rich, and really what, if any, advice has he given you, you know, leading up to the draft?
Yeah, Rich has been awesome. You know, really enjoy working with him, and the time that we get to spend, you know, refining our craft with him. I've learned a lot of, you know, little tricks and things here and there. To prepare, you know, the eventual journey in the NFL. You know, he's a guy, like you said, that, you know, he had to work his way into the league as an undrafted guy, and you know, he really just grinded, and you know, I think, you know, training with us, and he helps instill that mindset into us, and, you know, kind of helps us how to act like a pro, and you know, things like that, little tips here and there, you know, how to act in the locker room, you know, how to do certain techniques, how to, you know, help study the playbook and do board review. All those things he's been very helpful with, and, you know, I'm very grateful to be working with him.
And I'm just curious, you know, we talked a little bit about the combine and about the interview process, and we talked a little bit about your versatility as an offensive lineman. If you were to give us a quote-unquote scouting report on what, you know, what an NFL team is going to get if they draft you, if they bring you in, what would that scouting report sound like?
You know, I would say that I'm a big physical guy that can move. You know, in pass pro, you're going to get a technician, someone who plays with balance and stout with their hands. I think in the run game, you're going to see a guy that can move people off the line of scrimmage. And, you know, getting down to guard, you know, I can pull and move in space on screens. They're going to get someone who's, you know, intelligent and, you know, reliable and committed to helping the team win.
I'm curious, you know, Penn State, you obviously are playing against the best teams in the country, you know, pretty much, you know, week in, week out. Who's the toughest player you've ever had to block?
You know, like you said, playing in the Big Ten, there's a lot of guys. You know, out of Ohio State, they have a bunch of good guys every year. You know, Chase Young was very good, Nick Bosa, Tyquan Lewis, all those guys were really good. You know, a couple guys from Michigan, Rashawn Gary, Chase Winovich, you know, just to name a few. But, you know, I think playing those guys, you know, helped me realize the level it's going to take to play at the NFL, and you know, kind of getting some reps against those guys under my belt, you know, getting ready for, you know, this next step.
That also may be a selling point for you, you know, when you talk to NFL teams, like, hey, you know, I've lined up across from, you know, from Bosa and Chase Young and Winovich and some of these guys, you know, I've seen them before, maybe, and you know, and what they can do isn't a surprise.
Yeah, I think so, and I think just seeing my progress over the years and, you know, how I've developed, you know, being a multi-year starter, you know, and then this year with the versatility, I think that I've shown that I can play against all those guys and, you know, play different positions, and I think that's, you know, a good selling point for me.
What would it be like? You went to high school in Cranford, in New Jersey. What would it be like for you, you know, basically getting an opportunity to play in New Jersey with a team like the Giants?
You know, that'd be a tremendous honor. You know, the whole area that I grew up in, you know, Cranford and surrounding area, there's all Giants fans. I know I'd have a ton of, you know, local support. All my best friends are Giants fans, and that'd be really cool, you know, being in this area, being from New Jersey my whole life, and you know, especially knowing guys like Rich and people who have, you know, played for the organization before. It'd be a tremendous honor.
You grow up as a Giants fan or a different team?
Actually, not personally, mate. My family are Jets fans.
I don't know. This interview's over. I'm sorry. This interview's over. No, it's all good. I'm curious. I need to ask you about a couple of your teammates. You know, the draft is coming up, and the Giants are looking for playmakers. And there's, you know, there's on both sides of the ball, offense and defense, and. Yeah, a couple of your teammates on the defensive side of the ball are guys that people talk about as possibilities for the Giants, maybe at 11 in the first round, and you know maybe at 43 in the second round. I need to ask you first of all, scouting report on Micah Parsons.
Yeah, Micah is, you know, a tremendous athlete. You know, one of the freakiest guys. You know, ever seen playing, you know, playing in the Big Ten, you see a lot of freaky athletes, but just his instincts, the way he finds the ball, you know, how fast and explosive he is, making a read, you know, from the linebacker position, you know, go back and watch that Cotton Bowl tape last year, and he was on the field, and I think that kind of shows you what kind of player you're going to get if you get Micah Parsons.
And the other one, I think you know where I'm going, is Jason Owe. I mean, people are concerned when they look at Jason because there wasn't a lot of statistical production, you know, in 2020 from him. But you know, what kind of player, you know, would a team be getting if they select him?
Yeah, I think first off, he's a great kid, you know, very high character. You know, another guy from New Jersey, just a freak athlete, kind of the same as Mike. You know, they're blazing fast speed, explosiveness off the ball. You know, he's a problem to deal with, and you know, may not have the production that he wanted or anything like that, but he was still playing at a really high level and very disruptive. You know, you look at those PFF grades, and you know, he's one of the most disruptive pass rushers in the Big Ten this year, and you know, he's just a great kid, and he's gonna have a great career.
All right, hey Will, thank you very, very much for spending some time with me. If you happen to land with the Giants, you know, hopefully we'll get a chance to meet you in person, you know, later on this spring or this summer. So best of luck to you, and thanks again.
Absolutely, looking forward to it, and I appreciate your time. And if you happen to land with the Giants, I'll definitely be back on.
All right, take care.
All right, you too. Bye.
Bye bye.
All right, Giants fans, let's take a break now for a word from our SB Nation sponsors. When we come back, I'll have an interview for you with Miami of Ohio offensive lineman Tommy Doyle.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Up next, Giants fans, is an interview that I did with Miami of Ohio offensive lineman Tommy Doyle, another one of the prospects who is training for the draft at Test Football Academy in New Jersey. My apologies on this one. There are no intro pleasantries, that's my fault. What you'll hear is Tommy Doyle and I pretty much diving right into our conversation about his preparations for the draft and his career at Miami of Ohio. So let's get right to that. 2020 season was kind of a strange one. I mean, yep. Initially, if I have this right, initially you opted out because it looked like there wasn't going to be football at the MAC, in the MAC. Then when they decided to play, you opted back in and decided to play. Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay. So just describe for me sort of the roller coaster of what it was like, you know, for the 2020 season as a college football player.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting times. The MAC decided to essentially cancel our season. And then, obviously, so I believe we were the first conference to cancel, and then we were the last conference to come back and say, oh, we're going to play. And we kind of formulated a six-game schedule. And I think we had 6-7 weeks to kind of get ready for our first game. So it was definitely interesting going from, hey, we're not playing a season at all, to, okay, here we go. We got a 6-game schedule. So I decided to opt back in and play, obviously. And we ended up only getting 3 games in, and 3 of our games got canceled because of COVID. So it was definitely a roller coaster, but I'm glad I came back and played. I enjoyed those last memories with my teammates and, you know, what I was able to get out of that season, and I just tried to control what I could, but it was definitely an interesting season.
You know, play-wise and on the field-wise, you know, playing just those 3 games, do you feel like you got anything out of that as far as just, you know, what will help you, you know, going forward, you know, trying to find an NFL opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think being able to just, even if it was 3 games, I also got in a whole nother fall camp of practice and work with Coach Barnett, who I have a great relationship with at Miami of Ohio. He's now at Tulane. But I definitely think it helped. I think it was a lot better than taking an entire year off of football. So I'm happy with how it worked out.
And I'm curious, you know, it's a weird year. Let me start here with the draft. Did you, I know there isn't going to be a combine. Had there been a combine, did you have an invite?
Yes, I did. Yep. They're not doing any of the workouts in Indianapolis this year, though, so it's kind of a modified combine.
Right. Is that disappointing for you that's not going to take place?
You know, I'm just honored to be invited, grateful to be a part of it, and I'm just trying to control what I can control and work hard at the things I can control. Obviously, it would have been awesome to showcase my athleticism, you know, in Indianapolis, but that's just not the case, so I'm just going to do what I can otherwise.
And do you, you know, it's kind of impossible to predict how the draft is going to work out and all of that. Do you have any expectations, you know, from maybe from what you've been told or what you've heard, or are you just trying to keep your head down and you know, that's, again, one of those things that you can't control?
Yep, exactly. I'm just keeping my head down, working hard, and things will take care of itself.
And I know that you're working out at, you know, Test Academy in New Jersey, and one of the trainers there is former Giant, you know, Rich Soibert, guy that we've talked to a few times, guy that had a long, you know, successful career with the Giants, but a guy who wasn't highly thought of coming out of school, wasn't drafted, you know, had kind of his own, you know, his own journey to the NFL. I'm just curious, what, if any, advice has Rich given you as you've worked with him, you know, that really has stuck with you at this point?
Yeah, Coach Soibert has given a lot of great advice. Just being able to hear his experience coming from a small school and having that type of success in the NFL has been really cool to hear about and learn things from him. I've learned a lot of things about defenses, some board work type of stuff, a lot of good tips here and there on just pass sets, run blocking, everything. And I mean, on top of that, he's a great guy. He's fun to be around. So it's been awesome to work with him.
And I'm curious, you played, I think, both left and right tackle, you know, at Miami. Do you feel like you can do both of those, that you can play on both sides at the NFL level?
Yeah, definitely. I'm working both right tackle and left tackle here at Test, so I'm prepared for anything.
And I'm curious also, what if you were going to give, you know, if you're sitting in a room with, you know, with you know, an NFL talent evaluator, whatever, and they ask you for a scouting report on yourself, I mean, what's that going to sound like?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm really athletic. I have the length, the talent to be successful at the next level. I have the competitiveness, the smarts, the toughness as well to go on top with that. I've been a great pass blocker, you know, throughout my career, and I'm able to move guys off the ball in the run game as well. So I think, and I think that I'm developing. I've developed so much. I'm going to continue to do that. I never played offensive line in high school. I really only played like 3.5 years of offensive line in college. So the sky's the limit for me.
What'd you play in high school?
I was a defensive end.
Okay. Curious, you know, since you brought that up, how did the move to the offensive line come about?
Yeah, I mean, it was basically getting recruited out of high school. I had a decent amount of coaches just telling me that they think that, you know, being a tackle would be the perfect position for me in college and to develop into an offensive lineman. So a majority of the scholarship offers I received were to play offensive line. So I kind of just accepted the fact that that was going to be the best position for me. And I loved Miami of Ohio. I had a really good relationship with Coach Barnett, the offensive line coach there. And I trusted him to develop me into a tackle, and I just went with it.
Okay, I'm curious, you know, how do you answer the level of competition question? You know, it's not a Power 5 school. You're not playing, you know, the Ohio States of the world all the time. You know, if somebody asks you about your level of competition, you know, as far as transitioning to the NFL, you have a thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've played some top pass rushers throughout my career that you can watch the tape of. You know, I've played against Cincinnati every year, played against AJ Epenesa, against Iowa, and I think the film doesn't lie, and I'm confident that I have all the abilities in the world to do that against NFL talent consistently. So
yeah, I was you mentioned Epenesa. I was curious, I was going to ask you, you know, best pass rushers, best guys you think you've lined up against. Anyone other than Epenesa come to mind?
Yeah, him for sure. Sutton Smith back in the day against Northern Illinois was a very good player. Malcolm Kuntz of Buffalo is a very good player too.
Yeah, so you've played against some you know, some guys that are definitely, you know, NFL caliber, and you know, Epenesa was was a, I believe, a second round draft pick, I think.
I think so. I think that's correct.
Right. So it's not like you haven't played against good competition. I would also, tell, where are you from, Tommy?
So I'm from Edina, Minnesota. It's right outside of Minneapolis.
Okay. So how did you wind up at Miami of Ohio?
As I talked about earlier, I kind of got some offers to play offensive line. I had a decent amount of offers from MAC schools, and I took a visit to Miami of Ohio. I had a friend who went there too, so I had kind of heard about it before. They had a really good business school as well, so I was interested in that. And I was actually going to walk on to Wisconsin. It was going to walk on to Wisconsin to be a 4i, or I was going to go to Miami of Ohio, and I decided to go to Miami of Ohio.
And that seems to have worked out pretty well for you.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm really happy with it.
And so what are the next few weeks, leading up to the draft? We've got a couple of months yet. What are the next few weeks going to be like for you? How are you going to be spending your time?
Yeah, so I'm at Test Football Academy, as we talked about. I'm right here training right now, and really everything's really focused on getting ready for my pro day right now. So a lot of working out, just being a pro every day.
When is that pro day going to be?
March 29th.
And that's at Miami of Ohio, or is that somewhere else?
Yes, that's correct. That's at Miami of Ohio.
All right. Cool. Hey, Tommy, I appreciate your spending some time with me. If you happen to land with the Giants, hopefully one of these days we'll actually get to talk to players in person again. So best of luck to you. And, if you land with the Giants, we'll talk to you again.
Yeah, awesome. Sounds good. I appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Yep, see ya.
Yep, bye-bye.
Giants fans, that's our show for today. We thank you, as always, for listening and for supporting Big Blue View on all of its various platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, our website at bigblueview.com, our YouTube channel. We always appreciate you guys stopping by and checking out all of those different platforms. We hope we give you what you're looking for in terms of Giants coverage in a variety of different ways. In terms of the podcast here, please remember to subscribe to Big Blue View on all of your favorite podcast applications. Rate us where you can. I believe that's on Apple Podcasts. So please do that. And also, Giants fans, check out a couple of the shows that I did recently. Interesting stuff. An interview that I did recently on the podcast with Giants linebacker Tay Crowder. And also the show that I did a few days ago with Brent Taylor of SB Nation's Alabama website, Roll Bama Roll, as we talked about a number of the Alabama prospects who could be day one and day two selections in the draft and could be of interest to your New York Giants. All right, Giants fans, thanks again. Please stay safe out there, take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.